This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. We are Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM 80, all of our great ESPN stations across the country. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. The highlights there with Shohei Ohtani and the Dodgers in the Seoul Series from yesterday theoretically should be the biggest story involving those two teams. Theoretically.
Should be.
Should be. But it's not. Good morning, guys. How are you today?
I'm good, except winter is still wintering, and I thought we were in spring already. What the hell is going on?
I thought we
were done with sub-freezing temperatures.
It was so cold this morning.
I'm over it already.
I'm over it.
I'm stealing Pacostello's thunder. I'm over it, Smalls. like it's supposed to be springtime. Yeah. March Madness is here. It's damn near April. Like, why is it still freezing outside when I wake up in the morning?
But that was the classic fake spring that we got last week. This happens once a year where we feel like we're turning the corner, the temperatures are consistently in the 60s, and then we get hit with a cold front or a snowstorm.
Well, Punxsutawney Phil didn't see his shadow. He stayed out. His spring is supposed to be early spring.
Yeah, come on, Phil.
What the hell is going on? I guess Phil is about as good as the weatherman every day. I mean, that might be one of the only jobs that you can have where you're actually more wrong than you are right, and nobody really holds it against you.
Yeah.
The second part. I was going to say, I'm more wrong than right. I mean, how dare you? This is the second part.
But people will hold it against you.
Yes, exactly.
See it in your Twitter mentions.
I do.
You'll catch it on Instagram, TikTok, all of those things. But when the weatherman is wrong, nobody's giving the weatherman heat. You're still going to tune in the next day to see what he has to say about what the weather's going to be.
That's right. And if you were the weatherman and you get it wrong, you'd be like, but global warming, I'm predicting.
Right.
I don't know what to tell you.
Just blame that.
Global warming is the fall guy for
totally.
The meteorologist?
100%.
Love it.
Is it not, though? You could always just throw it to global warming and be like, you know, when I looked at it before the broadcast, it was going to be 60. The weather came in. The rain came in. Global warming.
Yeah. Speaking of fall guys.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that. we can't say that yet.
Speaking of fall guys.
We can't. Okay. So let me give you what the latest here is, because as Major League Baseball begins their season, and you know, we all yesterday on our show got all wrapped up in the excitement around it because we're on at 6 a.m. Eastern time. We're on at 3 a.m. Pacific time, right? We're on when this is going on. So we're excited. Hey, we have a live sporting event. You got people like Christopher Mad Dog Russo going on First Take and understandably saying, baseball, what are you doing starting a season in L.A. at 3 in the morning with Ohtani? You're going to launch Ohtani with the Dodgers at 3 in the morning. We got wrapped up in it because it's exciting for us. We don't get to see it. It's going on now on ESPN. Theoretically, again, that should be the topic. It's not. Here's why. Per ESPN.com, Shohei Ohtani's interpreter, I'm reading this, was fired Wednesday after questions were raised after ESPN viewed at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation. Mitsuzara ran up gambling debts to a Southern California bookmaking operation that is under federal investigation, multiple sources told ESPN. On Tuesday, as ESPN prepared to run a story on the wire transfers, an Ohtani spokesman said the player had transferred the funds to cover Mitsuzara's gambling debt. On Wednesday, the same spokesman for Ohtani issued a statement saying, quote, in the course of responding to recent media inquiries, we discovered that Shohei has been the victim of a massive theft and we are turning the matter over to authorities, end quote. So what we understand here is that the topic of conversation about these wire transfers, these $4.5 million worth of wire transfers, happened with the interpreter. The interpreter granted an interview to ESPN for 90 minutes. Tisha Thompson did the interview and did the story, credit to her on this. And then after that, Ohtani's representative said, no, he's not with us in essence. Our lawyers are going to get involved in this. This is more of a crime than a friend paying off someone else's debt. I just want to add one thing here. With any investigation involving gambling, with any sport, any player, any representative, any employee of an organization in a sport, my assumption is the governing body of that sport, the first thing that they're going to do is do everything in their power to clear the person within the sport, which in this case would be Ohtani. My assumption is Major League Baseball is going through this right now to separate Ohtani from this situation. But this is where we are right now. in this drama and in this unfortunate circumstance that is kicking off the baseball season?
Well, drama is a good word to describe it because things are changing. The story is evolving. At first, you hear that it's Ohtani paying off the gambling debts of his interpreter. Then you hear all of a sudden that it's theft, that things have really shifted after the interview was granted. I just have a lot of questions and don't really have a lot of answers yet, but I do know one thing for sure, guys. Baseball does not need Shohei Ohtani caught up in any sort of scandal, let alone a gambling scandal, when betting and wagering and gambling has become such a part of our sports activity daily. This is a huge component to what we do and what sports has done from an entertainment perspective. And to have this guy, who is the unicorn of your sport, who just signed a massive contract and is the face of baseball, somehow caught up in a situation like this, this is the last thing that Major League Baseball needs, especially coming off a season where you had rules changes and people were coming back to baseball. You have a lot of positive momentum and you have some star power that's really starting to pop in baseball right now. This is the last thing that they need.
No doubt about it. And here's the crazy thing about this whole scenario. And this is why journalistic integrity is important, right? Because Tisha Thompson, ESPN, like they, when you have a story of this magnitude, you know you want to have all of the details buttoned up. You want to cross your T's and dot your I's. So the fact that the story was ready to run, where it said Ohtani was covering the gambling debts of Ipe Metsuhara, and the fact that that was walked back in less than 24 hours, it doesn't pass the smell test to me. Mm-hmm. Did Ohtani know about it or didn't he know about it? And if he did, if he knew about it, why would you pay seven figures to cover the gambling debts of an employee of yours? Because that's, in fact, what Metsuhara is to Ohtani. He's his interpreter. So that's the part that's extra sketchy here. The other part that doesn't necessarily make sense to me is, if this guy is guilty of doing something so salacious, like siphoning off millions of dollars to cover gambling debts in a Southern California bookmaking operation, why are you allowing him to interview after you fire him? Mm-hmm. After you make the decision to fire him, why are you marching him up there to the podium to talk about what he did wrong and to talk about how he took advantage of Ohtani in the relationship that they had? That doesn't make sense to me. The last part, and this is the coup de grace, F, you go out of your way, and this is the interpreter, mm-hmm. to say that you bet on all of these other professional sports, but never bet on Major League Baseball. Why would I give you the benefit of the doubt? Why would I take your word for it when you are, in effect, saying you're guilty from stealing millions of dollars from somebody that already employs you? None of that makes any sense to me. And this is why Major League Baseball is going to have to do a deep dive. The integrity of the sport is on the line because the face of the sport is connected to a scandal where you're talking about his interpreter stealing millions upon millions of dollars.
So a couple of add-on notes here. Metsuhara told ESPN in multiple interviews that Ohtani had zero involvement in betting. He said that his bets were, as CC mentioned, on international soccer, the NBA, the NFL, and college football, and said he never bet on baseball. Now, that is important because he was an employee of the Dodgers previously with the Angels, and he did note that in spring training, as they always do, they have the gambling conversations, you can't bet on baseball, et cetera, et cetera. He said he's translated for Ohtani since he moved to the United States in 2018. Obviously, that would be with the Angels. And then Ohtani's going to have no comment on this, but that they are not being contacted, at least at this point, by federal authorities. So what happens from here? Again, I have to go back to my assumption is Ohtani's camp, whoever now is left in that camp, is going to work hard to clear him of any connection to this. Conceptually, if your best friend has a gambling debt, you may help your best friend out with that gambling
Ain't
debt.
Ain't no way in hell you helping your best friend with $4.5 million
of
gambling debt.
If you have
debt.
A $700 million like
no.
he does?
No! $4.5 million? Just because he's been my interpreter and a good friend of mine, I guess they've been working together in Major League Baseball since he came over in 2018. Mm-hmm. I'm going to cover a seven-figure gambling debt without my knowledge of it? Like, first of all, so did you know or didn't you know? That's the other thing.
Right.
Because it's coming out. It initially was going to be reported that he did know and that he was doing the interpreter a solid. Now, what's being said is that he didn't know, and this interpreter stole money from him.
Well, that's different, right? That's different. I'm saying you don't believe it's possible that someone with as much money as Ohtani could just say, you're done, no. You're dead to me, no. I'm covering your money, and
no.
That's it.
No.
What? But he's not obligated to do that.
Of course he's not obligated to do it. No. I'm asking as from a friend perspective.
No, but that's a huge liability. And if you have a gambling problem, so much so that it's $4.5 million of debt worth that I got to cover, then all of a sudden I have to worry about you potentially betraying you know, intellectual property, trade secrets, whatever you want to call it, about how my team is planning on going about their business each and every night. Like, if that's the case, and you're privy to every single meeting that we have, every single practice, because you're my interpreter, then I got to worry about you potentially using that information to offset your debt obligations to the bookmaker.
No doubt.
So you're a huge liability. Why would I keep you on the payroll? Why would I keep you around? That makes no sense. It doesn't. And so, I mean, Rob Manfred is going to be losing a lot of sleep over the coming days, the coming weeks, because to try to separate Ohtani from what the interpreter did in this entire investigation that's supposed to be happening when led by the U.S. Attorney's Office, I don't know how you're going to do that anytime soon.
No, and the way that he handles this is of utmost importance, right? I mean, this is the star of the game, and we're talking about gambling. Like, the way that all of this is handled is going to be major. We're going to be reporting on it and talking about it.
Free piece of advice. Don't talk about it. Don't talk. If you're Ohtani, don't talk about it. Don't talk about it. This is not something you want to touch. Gambling is the third rail, and with all of these professional sports leagues embracing gambling, it becomes a slippery slope, making sure that you protect the integrity of your entertainment product, so much so that people still have the confidence to bet on your sport.
But that's why it makes no sense to me why he would cover the debt, knowing that this is what he's involved in, your interpreter, and that you're going to cover it. And then therefore, even just by giving him the money to cover it, you're connected to this.
No doubt.
Knowing the ramifications that are on the other side, that part is a little questionable.
All right, we got to hear from the investigative reporter, Tisha Thompson, that broke this story. We're going to get to that coming up. A reminder on Sportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. Drivers who switch to Progressive could save big. Quote today at Progressive.com. This is a massive story. Shohei Ohtani's interpreter has been fired by the Dodgers amid allegations of massive theft. Initially, it was reported that and said by the interpreter, Ohtani helped pay off the debt. Now he had nothing to do with it. We're a little confused on where Ohtani stands. We're going to continue that conversation coming up. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
NCAA tournament starts today. Filling out brackets with ESPN is free and easy. Download the ESPN Tournament Challenge app. You can fill out up to 25 men's and women's brackets for more chances to win. You can create and join groups to compete against others or join the ESPN Radio men's and women's groups to play against us. We're going to reveal our picks in just a little bit here. I think mine have been already eliminated. The app also makes it easy to share your champion and Final Four picks across your social channels. All right, 2-0 Padres, by the way, in the Seoul series, game number 2 in the first inning already. The Padres on the board 2-0 over the LA Dodgers.
And you got runners at the corners, too. Yamamoto, yeah. Not a great start.
Nope.
Not a great start for a guy you just gave a $300 million contract to.
Yeah.
He's writing it off already? There. He's done?
No, I'm not going to say he's done, but he's getting knocked around pretty good in the first inning. And he had a rough spring training. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, you got guys on the corners and no outs, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. Like, you ain't even going to pinch the Padres lineup? Not even a little pinch? Nothing? We can't get a sack fly, a ground ball?
You hate to see it.
I'd rather give up 2 runs than have his teammates dealing with.
No, you
sure.
don't. You wish all the bad things in baseball happened to the Dodgers and nobody else.
Well, it seems like they are. You got your wish.
Again, per ESPN.com, Shohei Ohtani's interpreter was fired Wednesday after questions were raised after ESPN viewed at least $4.5 million in wire transfers from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation. His translator ran up gambling debts to a Southern California bookmaking operation that is under federal investigation, multiple sources told ESPN. All right, so now... Tisha Thompson was a reporter, ESPN investigative reporter, did a tremendous job with this, and she was on the 6 p.m. Eastern Sports Center yesterday and discussed where these reports started from.
Well, we had documents and sourcing that indicated that Shohei Ohtani's name was on bank statements, bank documents, specifically wire transfers that were going and had been received by a bookmaking operation in Southern California that sources had told us was under federal investigation. So we reached out to Ohtani's spokespeople and were eventually told that it was his interpreter, his best friend, some people have described him, Ipe Mizuhara, who had been taking on the gambling debts, that he had been placing the bets himself.
Okay, so that is part one of the story, right? This story kind of changed, and I think that's the gray area, mysterious part of this. She also discussed her conversation with Mizuhara and amidst the reports here.
I connected with Mizuhara. We got on the phone. It was a couple of hours before the season opener in Korea last night. And he and I spoke for about 90 minutes. And he said they were his gambling debts and that he had asked Ohtani to help him when he got too far in a hole. We've been told by sourcing it was upwards of $4.5 million, at least $4.5 million. He said he watched as Ohtani logged onto his computer and then did what Mizuhara instructed him to do in directing those wire transfers to pay off his gaming debts.
Okay, so Tisha Thompson is saying Mizuhara is there with him. He has the $4.5 million of gambling debts, instructs Ohtani to do what he did. Now, that is interesting in itself. And Ohtani does not employ the interpreter. The Dodgers do. But in essence, he's his boss, right?
Yeah, if Ohtani wants a new interpreter, guess what happens?
There's a new interpreter.
Mizuhara is not going to be there.
How many times does the employee instruct the employer what to do? That's a very interesting little nugget on that one.
Yeah, if that ain't the tail wagging the dog. But the other part of the game that we got to consider is that Ohtani, based on the structure of his contract, is only getting $2 million a year right now.
Right. So
because all of that money that he's making off that $700 million, the majority of that is deferred.
Right.
So he's getting $2 million a year, and I'm supposed to be led to believe that it's okay that the interpreter is taking 2.5 seasons worth of what he's getting right now from the Dodgers and paying that off for gambling debts?
Also, the way he describes it, saying, I watched him log onto his computer to complete the wire, but then Ohtani's camp is saying it was massive theft. If we're to believe Mizuhara's accounts, he watched him do it with his eyes, and there was full consent, and there was no theft involved.
Yeah, I'm not believing anything Mizuhara says, including Ohtani's level of involvement, level of awareness, and the fact that he did not bet on baseball while he was betting on these other professional sports. Again, gambling is an addiction, and if you got that big of a problem where you've got millions upon millions of dollars in gambling debt, why would I think that gambling on baseball would be the bright red line that you wouldn't cross when you've seemingly crossed every other professional line that an interpreter would? It doesn't make sense to me.
What are you believing? Or you're choosing to believe, I don't know. And that's it. That's a belief right now.
No. I'm not sitting here saying that I don't know, but I can't go as far as to say what I really believe. because we don't have enough evidence to support that.
Got it.
And when you start making accusations toward people, like, I just think you have to have a lot of substance in order to support that. We're not there yet.
No, of course not.
But what we do know is enough for Rob Manfred to do a deep dive in the Dodgers and Major League Baseball as a whole to want to get to the bottom of this, and I think that the federal government is going to help them do that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. When I'm saying, what do you believe? The point is, if you're saying, hey, I hear all this stuff, I read all this stuff, I don't believe this, that means gray area is what you believe right now. In terms of it being out there, we have to find out more about what is happening, and we don't know all the answers
to this. But see, I don't even know if it's fair to frame it as gray area for me. It's not gray. Like, it's clear in my mind what I think it is, but, I mean, you can't go there unless it's proven beyond a shadow of a doubt.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't trust anybody involved with this situation. I don't trust the interpreter. Clearly, he doesn't deserve it. I don't trust Otani's knowledge and involvement that's being presented to us. I don't trust the Dodgers to do the right thing in this situation because of the investment that they have in Otani and how much they've invested around him in making the team a championship contender. And I don't trust Major League Baseball either. Because he is the face of the sport, not just here in America, but globally.
Yes.
Everybody's got so much skin in the game in terms of making sure that this phenom is propped up and has the biggest platform so it can promote the sport. I don't trust that any of those parties involved are going to do the right thing by the way of trying to protect the integrity of baseball.
Yeah, this feels like a Mad Libs of Rob Manfred's worst nightmare. Like, if you had to fill in the blanks of which player would be involved in what scandal, I would imagine Otani and gambling and scandal are the three words that he would never want to put in the same sentence.
You know what? If I'm him, I'm moving on my retirement. Like, I know I'm going to retire a few years from now. Now's fine.
This is his actual nightmare. You have all of this goodwill that you've garnered, if you're Rob Manfred, for the changes that you've made in the game. And then after all of this activity with the Dodgers, where they acquire all these stars, they're going to be the talk of the sport. Your sport is going to get national recognition because of this team, and namely because of this player, national and international recognition. And then he's involved in a scandal, and not only a scandal, a gambling scandal.
Yeah.
This is literally Rob Manfred's worst nightmare.
You know what? If you say something all the time, like, what's the headline, the top line item on the resume?
Yeah.
Like here's the thing. For all of the good things that Rob Manfred has done, like cleaning up the sport when it comes to PEDs and steroids, like expanding the playoffs, I mean, being able to have a working agreement with Tony Clark and the collective bargaining and all those different things, the innovations that we've seen with the game, with the pitch clock and eliminating the shift and the bigger bases to create more action. For all of those good things that he's done, if this gets more salacious, if there was direct knowledge of what the interpreter was doing, or if there are people within the Dodgers organization that are complicit, like executives, players, whatever, this will be the top line item on Rob Manfred's resume as commissioner of the sport of baseball. I don't think that's hyperbolic. I think that is just fact.
Well, that tells me that you, with all of your knowledge of 11 years in a sport, knows how big this is, means that this is only going to get bigger, is what you're saying. That this is day one of a lot of days of this. Again, there is also a like, rewind the argument, or rewind the conversation, excuse me, of like, okay, so a guy's betting on sports, big deal. As long as he's not fixing his sport or betting on his sport, like, there is that part of it too, if we're going to be fair, like, who cares?
But how do you know that, though?
That's the thing. Like, I don't know anything.
That's the part I know. But here's the thing. The Dodgers, the interpreter, they can present the facts in a way that absolves Otani and absolves everybody except for the interpreter. They can do that with us. They can do that with media fans. You know who you can't do that with? The U.S. federal government. And now that they're involved in investigating this thing, we'll see how that goes down.
We should also point out,
you ain't going to mislead them.
Correct me if I'm wrong on this. I do not believe there's legal sports betting in California. So that's another part of this. When you're talking about the federal government, this is not like, oh, wow, he has a $4.5 million debt in Vegas, where it could be to a casino. There is no sports gambling, if I'm not mistaken, in California, which leads to this. By the way, The Padres right now getting it done against the Dodgers, the aforementioned Dodgers. 5-0 first inning. San Diego.
You better get Yamamoto out of there.
He's getting rocked.
Throw the towel. Throw the damn towel.
Padres are getting it done. Granger's getting it done, CC.
Yes, for the ones who get it done, like the Padres, line up right now. Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger for the ones who get it done. For the ones who get it done, Granger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. Granger for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. Evan Canty and Michelle are unsportsmanlike.
Caleb Williams throwing for scouts in his pro day.
Throw from the pocket quite a lot, so I wanted to show that and show that I can do it consistently.
It wasn't earth-shattering, but it was solid. This was a solid workout for him, and he's a guy who definitely is worthy of being considered the presumptive number one overall pick.
The voice of ESPN NFL analyst, former player and executive Lewis Riddick, who was at the pro day yesterday for Caleb Williams in L.A. as Caleb Williams threw. By the way, Marvin Harrison Jr. did not work out at his pro day. No issue with that.
Yeah. I mean, no issue with it. Loved his explanation. Well, I guess his dad's explanation, rather. It's about making sure he's set up to have success in his rookie year. It's not about trying to wow scouts. There's nothing that MHJ has to prove. And I guess my question would be, why did Caleb Williams even work out?
Well, that's an interesting question, because I don't think it is nasty or rude or insulting to say, I played. Watch the tape. You want me to wear shorts and a t-shirt throwing with no defense, and you think that's going to give you a better indication of how I am? It's actually ridiculous to think about.
And the things that Caleb Williams needs to work on, you can't work on those things without a defense. Like, he's got to work on ball security in the pocket. You can't work at that with no pass rush. Like, he's got to work on being able to play on schedule. You can't work on it with no pass rush and no DBs, no defensive backs. Like, you're throwing against air.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
The things that
you would want to see him improve on, and the things that he's going to have to change about his game as he makes the leap to the next level, you can't get any indicators of that by just watching a workout.
No, I also don't think there was anything he could have done yesterday that would have shifted his draft status one way or the other.
That part.
Like, he's going to go out there and look amazing because he's put in a situation where it's all curated for him to look amazing. And we all think that regardless of what happened either way, he's the presumptive number one overall pick.
And here's the crazy thing. Here's the kicker with it. Like, who was there from the Chicago Bears matters. Keenan Allen, the receiver that the Chicago Bears just traded for the Chargers, was at Caleb Williams' workout.
And that is why you trade for that guy. That reason right there is veteran influence who can show up, be supportive, been there, done that. I loved that by Keenan Allen. Yeah. I thought that was so awesome that he did what he did.
Yeah, but we also know that you're going to take Caleb Williams with the number one overall pick. So again, why is he working out?
I understand, but I love the support from the big brother in that spot.
Yeah, that is great.
The guy that's going to clearly put his arm around you when things are not going to be perfect. They can't be when you're a rookie, right? And there's a guy who's saying, I got you. From day one. And I loved that yesterday with Keenan Allen. Now, Dan Orlovsky, ESPN NFL analyst, was on Get Up yesterday and discussed the fact that Caleb Williams right now is walking into one of the best situations maybe ever for a number one overall pick.
We're talking about a situation where the skill group is clearly above average, and DJ Moore is at the pinnacle of that, and then Keenan Allen in his addition. So you have above average skill group, usually doesn't happen for a number one pick at quarterback. You have above average offensive line, usually doesn't happen for a number one pick at quarterback. And then you have above average defense, well above average. Last 8 games of the season last year, this was the number one defense in the NFL. Justin Fields, his first 2 years, had the 30th ranked defense in the NFL. The addition of a player player like DeAndre Swift. That's why this is the best situation a number one quarterback has gone into in at least 30 years.
Interesting point there by Dan. Also want to point out, this is important. It's not their pick. Right, they had the ninth pick. This is Carolina's pick. So one of the reasons you're walking into a better situation than most is that they, and I mean this complimentary, the Bears didn't earn this pick. Carolina did.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, you have to point that part out.
No, yeah, that part matters. Here's the thing. I lean toward agreeing with Dan. The only one I would probably say that had a better situation was Eli Manning. Like he was walking,
which was also a trade.
Yeah, it was a trade, but he was walking into a situation where a head coach had just been hired in Tom Coughlin, somebody that already rebuilt a franchise in Jacksonville, got him to a conference championship game. He had Amani Toomer, Jeremy Shockey, and Tiki Barber as a part of the skill position core. I believe Ron Dane was a part of that team, too.
Thunder and Lightning.
Yeah,
maybe.
And then he had a pretty good defense with Osa Umanyora and Michael Strahan. So, I mean, like,
pretty good.
Think about it. Like, and here's the great thing about what Eli had, a quarterback in Kurt Warner that started in week one, so he didn't have to have that pressure of being the number one overall pick and save the franchise. If I'm not mistaken, Ev, the Giants had a winning record.
5-4, I think they had 5-4
before they turned it over to Eli Manning. So there was no pressure for him to play early on.
A soft launch.
And he had somebody in the quarterback room that had already won a Super Bowl and had won league MVP. So, like, you had that guy in the quarterback room to teach you how to have success as you transition from the college ranks to the pro ranks. So I get what Dan is saying, though. Like, I get what he's saying about, from a personnel standpoint, how the Bears have it teed up for him. The thing that concerns me the most about what Caleb is walking into is that you have a coach and essentially a general manager that are both on the hot seat. Like, if this thing doesn't go right this year, I could see a world where the general manager, Ryan Poles, and the head coach in Matt Eberflus are gone going into 2025. And that's what concerns me. When you have a rookie quarterback with a head coach and or general manager on a hot seat, it's not a good thing. It doesn't lend itself to the kind of stability that you need to develop a quarterback properly.
Which is why I'm surprised that they haven't made the situation, especially with the head coach, more stable, because they're doing all of these other really smart things to put Caleb Williams in a position to have success, or at least to have as much immediate success as he can. They're giving him protection. They're giving him weapons. There is that level of stability that this Chicago Bears quarterback is going to walk into that did not exist previously, which is why I can't understand why you wouldn't do the same thing and guarantee he has some continuity with his head coach, with the scheme, with everything that's going to happen past year one of his tenure with the Bears. That's the one piece of this puzzle that I think they haven't really gotten right.
I think that is a phenomenal point. And I think if you just take out the laundry and the history, that you just forget we're talking about the Chicago Bears and all of the things that have gone wrong at the quarterback position, and you just simply look, what have they done here? They added an extra pick in the first round this year that ended up number one overall. Yes, they passed on C.J. Stroud last year. We have to acknowledge that and move on from that because they can't get it back, right? But they got wide receivers, offensive line, running game, defense. I think there's two mistakes that they have made, or which they can still correct, but I think they are really heading in the right direction. I think they're really a good franchise right now if you just eliminate the history. Number one, they should extend Matt Eberflus. Because if you're going to stay with him this year, you got to stay with him for years to come now. You've made that decision. It has to happen. Number two, they have to find their Kurt Warner. I think that's an excellent point you brought up about the Giants, because you can make the argument for a young quarterback, it is more important to be mentored than to have wide receivers or a defense.
No doubt.
That they need their Kurt Warner. Now, that doesn't grow on trees.
No.
And I don't know that Ryan Tannehill is a mentor necessarily. He proved not to be with Malik Willis. Maybe he was more so with Will Levis, but he's available. He's been there. He's done that. They need somebody like that who can, again, Keenan Allen's going to do it. We saw it yesterday. But you bring up the Kurt Warner thing. I never thought about it that way. And that's vital in the development. Alex Smith to Pat Mahomes.
No doubt.
Unbelievable mentor in that spot, right? And I think that, I don't know who that guy is, but I think, offense, Brett Rippon's not the guy.
No.
Right?
Tyson Bagent ain't that dude.
Ain't that guy.
No,
right?
It's not that guy. No, and that's the thing, right? We talk about the franchise not being in a position where they got to rush this thing or try to microwave it with Caleb Williams. You don't want to put him out there before the kid is ready to protect himself. And beyond that, you don't want to put him out there where he's not ready to have success. You don't want to shake his confidence. Now, I get it. It's a fine line, because if you're taking the guy number one overall and he is going to change the fortunes of the franchise, there has to be a degree of mental toughness there. But I wouldn't want my head coach to throw Caleb Williams out there in order to try to throw himself a life raft to save his job. And I guess that's the part that gets a little bit dicey. Can the general manager and the head coach exercise a level of discipline, a level of restraint, and not throw Caleb Williams out there in the interest of trying to win as many games as they can to justify job security in 2025 and beyond?
Yeah, that one's hard because they're going to be very tempted.
Hell yeah. Either tempted. You sell winning or you sell hope. Caleb Williams is hope. And if you're not winning, the best way to try to save your job is to throw Caleb Williams out there and say, at least there's hope.
Yep.
The fans have hope. Ownership, here's hope. This is the guy. We got hope. And that's the position that the Bears have been in with every quarterback that they've taken with a first-round pick since 1999 in Cade McCown. And that's what they have to avoid at all costs when it comes to Caleb Williams.
If they were to extend Matt Eberflus by 2 years and sign Ryan Tannehill, once they draft Caleb Williams, I would deem this to be a perfect offseason.
Here's the thing, though. They could extend him for 2 years, and if the Bears go 5-12, they're going to fire him.
But that's okay.
So is that really job security?
Yeah, because perception matters. That Caleb Williams thinks he's playing for the guy he's going to continue to play for versus play for a guy this year and then play for another guy next year.
No, but it's not about what Caleb Williams thinks. It's about what the head coach thinks.
Yeah.
So if you give Matt Eberflus that 2-year extension and he still feels like he doesn't have any job security, he's going to make decisions to support his job security and not necessarily be in the best interest of Caleb Williams long term.
Well, however you want to get to a place of job security, do it. Because once you made the decision to bring him back now, you can't have musical chairs at that coaching position with Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. Money, guarantees, whatever.
I don't know what it means either.
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's the NFL, so there is no such thing. But I'm just saying they are two moves in my mind away from perfection this offseason. Extension for Eberflus and Ryan Tannehill as the backup quarterback. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
You're watching the ESPN Tournament Challenge Marathon presented by Applebee's. Download the Tournament Challenge app and fill out your men's and women's brackets now.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Celtics continue to beat everyone. We're on Sportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Smalls has such a smile on her face today. Two things. One, she's got in her Illini jacket
That's
at
right.
Illinois NCAA tournament getting going today. Noon Eastern time. Fill out your brackets with us, the Tournament Challenge app. We're going to reveal our picks in a little bit, but also because the Dodgers are getting destroyed in the early stages of this Game 2 of the Seoul Series. It is 5-1 Padres, and Yamamoto has already been bounced, correct? He's out.
He's out.
Look at the smile for those watching on ESPN2. She's so happy. Do you dislike the Dodgers more? Oh, okay, I know that. Okay, cool. Back to you, Bob.
What were you going to say? More than what?
More than you like the Cardinals?
No.
Okay, but your second favorite team in theory is whoever's playing against the Dodgers at this point.
For this season, yes.
It's Cardinals 1, Dodgers opponent 2.
Yeah, because I don't really hate the Cubs, you know. It's more like a big brother, little brother thing, even though they've won more recently than the Cardinals have. Mm-hmm. I've never had beef with Cubs fans. It's more of like an ingest thing. And sports is more fun when there's a villain. Yeah. Sports is fun when you have someone you can actively root against, and for me it's the Dodgers this season.
Plus, I'm sure the Dodgers look down their nose at all the other teams in the National League.
Of course they do.
That has to make y'all feel a way.
Of course they do, and they shouldn't.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Well, they may depending on what is found here some things.
They spent a lot of money for a pandemic championship, didn't they?
They certainly did. It's a lot easier to win in a truncated season. 60 games, am I right?
Yeah, that's about it.
NBA last night, Celtics beat the Bucks 122-119. The Celtics were up 20-plus points in this game. The Bucks came all the way back. They had a three-point attempt by Bobby Portis to potentially tie the game late. Giannis did not play in this game for Milwaukee. Bobby Portis may be the best backup of a star that we've ever seen. I mean, it's unbelievable. He's like, you know, Vinnie Johnson back in the day for the Bad Boys was a great player off the bench backing up Isaiah and Dumars.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Portis, well, maybe I am saying that. Like, this dude is awesome. 24-15 last night off the bench, but Boston wins the game without the former Buck, Jrue Holiday, playing. And they are obviously really good right now at 55-14, best team in the Eastern Conference. Do we have any concerns about them at all as we progress here postseason?
Do I have concerns about the Bucks?
No, or about Boston.
Oh, okay. No, I don't really have questions about Boston. Wake me up when we get to the conference finals. Yep. It's about that.
Okay. You know and Milwaukee?
I mean? Milwaukee, I do.
Okay.
And I do. And here's the thing. I get that Giannis hasn't played and he's injured and all of that stuff. But even with Giannis in the lineup or whether he's hurt, they still don't defend. Their defense is awful. I mean, absolutely awful. Boston damn near scored 70 points in the first half. Something about that has to change. I mean, even in a win that they had against the Phoenix Suns on Sunday, they allowed the Suns to score 130. Like, at some point, you got to stop somebody. And right now, their defense can't stop a nosebleed. And this is a team that has to rely on the zone defense to slow people down. Once you get in the playoffs against better teams that presumably shoot it better, that's going to be a problem for you. Like, you're going to have to be able to lock down a man-to-man defense. And I don't know that they have the personnel to do that, especially in the backcourt with Damian Lillard. We know he's a defensive liability. And so when you have all of these guys that can break defenses down off the bounce on these playoff-worthy teams, you have to worry about whether or not the Milwaukee Bucks can actually defend when it matters the most. I know this is an adage that people overuse, but defense wins championships. Mm-hmm. You got to be able to stop somebody, Smalls. And right now, I don't think the Bucks can stop anybody with or without Giannis.
No. And I'm kind of surprised that they continue with that zone defense when Doc came over, because you think that would be the time to overhaul everything, because what was working or what they were doing defensively prior to his arrival wasn't working.
No.
But as far as Boston goes, I have no concerns about that team. They've been absolutely dominant this year in many ways, especially at home. They've been crushing it at home. They've been in the 10 home games that they have. They've improved to 32-3 at home, excuse me. And in 10 of those home games, they've led by at least 20 points, which when you remember last year in the postseason, they were bad at home. Mm-hmm. So the fact that trend has changed, I think, is positive for them. But I'm kind of with you when it comes to Boston. Wake me up when we're getting ready to go to the NBA Finals.
There's been a clear-cut best team in the Eastern Conference all year. It's been Boston. There have been so many good teams in the Western Conference this year. They're all like, I don't know who's going to go to the Finals. I think there are going to be more upsets in the East than the West. I think that Boston and Milwaukee, either one of them could get upset, as crazy as that sounds.
I agree.
I just, there's something about both of them in the playoffs that, specifically Boston, like, they do have something to prove there. And in the West, you could look at it and say, well, Oklahoma City's the one seed right now at 48-20 with an MVP candidate in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Denver's the defending champs. They're amazing. I think we expect them to potentially be there in the end. And then there's Minnesota, that's a wild card team, that I am now saying that Chris Canty has gone from a Lakers fan to a T-Wolves fan. That's it. You are no longer a Lakers fan. You're in on the T-Wolves, so much so that Canty's like, you know what? There was something happened at the 1 a.m. Eastern Sports Center that we need on the show. Draymond Green and the Warriors, after beating the Grizzlies last night, of course, was commenting on CC's favorite player, Anthony Edwards.
We know Minnesota's a tough opponent. Anthony Edwards is playing as good as anybody in the league. As I've always said, he believes he's great. You know, everybody keeps talking about the next face in the NBA and all these things, and he believes that, you know, and the rest of that team follows his confidence.
I am convinced you have Google alerts set for any time Anthony Edwards is mentioned in a positive way. That it's just like, Anthony Edwards. I would say you're a bigger fan of him than anyone in sports right now.
He's must-watch television.
I know, but there's not a player, even in the NFL, that I think you like as much as you like Anthony Edwards.
Well, I told you yesterday, like, this is the guy that I'm staying up late to watch. If I've got to pick one player that I'm willing to blow past bedtime for to watch them play, it's Anthony Edwards. And I played hurt yesterday. I was on the struggle bus just because I didn't get a whole lot of sleep watching him play against the Denver Nuggets. But, man, He is absolutely box office. But the thing that's incredible about him, man, he's got a good feel for the game. And Lex was on our show with us yesterday, and he talked about how he trusts Anthony Edwards now in terms of his playmaking, his scoring, not trying to force things, especially down the stretch. He's aggressive, but he allows the game to come to him. We talk about coaches and managers feeling the heartbeat of the game. We don't necessarily attribute that to players, but I think with Anthony Edwards, it applies. Like, he has a great feel for the game. He knows when to turn it up when his team needs that swing and momentum, and the guy always delivers. And he has every single tool in his bag, not just offensively, defensively as well, which is why I think they are the closest thing to a challenger contender to the Denver Nuggets in the Western Conference, maybe in the entire NBA.
Another tool in that tool bag is what Draymond talked about, which is the mentality that he has. Mm. And I hate to compare anybody to Michael Jordan.
Oh, boy.
But just that mentality that you see from him, that I am the best and nobody can beat me, and then he goes out there and he actually executes, it reminds me a little bit of what we saw from Michael Jordan. And again, I don't want to compare anybody to him, but that's the type of mentality that you need to be a champion and to be a superstar in the NBA. And he's got it.
You really just did that?
I'm just saying.
She ain't the first one, though.
I know, but she's the first one. I believe it was Bond.
I think it was Bonteps that did it before the season.
Tim McMahon on the Hoop Collective. He said that a scout compared him to that. I think it was attached to McMahon as if he said it because he's so funny, but it was a scout that said that to him, I believe.
But doesn't he have that mental edge that you need and that confidence?
Were you the scout?
Was I the scout? No.
You're the
scout. Can't confirm exclusively. I was not the scout.
Okay, all right. I don't want to reveal sources, but I can't. I understand what you're saying, that if you're going to say, okay, here's a category of mentality. Where does this player fit in that category of mentality? Yes, Kobe would fit in the Michael mentality.
Yeah.
Dwayne Wade would fit in the Michael mentality. Yes. I understand why you'd say that.
Listen, if Ant-Man gets this team through the Denver Nuggets to the NBA Finals, would you be ready to entertain those possibilities then in that comparison? I'm just saying.
No, it's Michael. Never. We're Unsportsmanlike.
Oh my gosh, here we go.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.